that time. It's good to have you today. We're glad you're here. We're doing a little series on what's spiritual and what's not spiritual. Lots of people get mixed up what's spiritual and what's not spiritual. We have a group of people who are saying everything we do is spiritual. Or everything we do is worship. And the Bible does not teach that stuff. That's a bunch of foolishness. To think everything that you do is of a spiritual nature. If you're washing clothes, if you're scrubbing the floor, if you're whatever you're doing. That's not worship. Has to be some intent involved. Some purpose. And so I thought it'd be good if we, between our study of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, that we could talk about just a little special lesson. Those of you that were not fortunate enough to get to come last Wednesday night missed about half of this already, and we're ready for point number four. Point number four. I talked to you about the law is spiritual, the words of the Bible are spiritual, and the preached word is spiritual. It brings us down to point four. God's gifts are said to be spiritual. The text is introduced in the book of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. When God says, and he says this quite often, I would not have you ignorant. What does he mean by that? Travis.
He don't want us to be stupid.
He wants us to what?
To know.
He wants us to know. Jesus said, you shall what, Mabel?
Know the truth.
Yes. And what will it do for you, Matt? Howard.
Make you free,
John 8:32. In 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, Paul said God would have us to come unto a knowledge of the truth. That's when the Bible often says not to be ignorant. Some people have the concept that ignorance is bliss. Anybody in here believe that? I hope not. It's not bliss. If it is, we just, class is over. I'm not going to tell you anything about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to know. I want you to be ignorant about that. But Paul said not to be ignorant. What's a good remedy for not being ignorant? Angela?
Study.
S-T-U-D-Y. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many spiritual gifts are there, Jenny?
Nine.
How do you know that?
They're listed.
Where'd you read those? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, let me preface this by saying to you, all of these spiritual gifts are supernatural. What do I mean by that? Supernatural. Edie. They're supernatural. What do I mean by that? Who knows? Laura? They're supernatural.
They're spiritual,
yeah, but they're supernatural. Great.
They define natural law.
Yeah, they're beyond, like, knowledge is beyond study. This knowledge didn't come by study. It's supernatural. None of these are normal, natural. They're supernatural gifts. Okay? Let me read them to you. In 1 Corinthians 12, begin with verse 8. The nine of them, Jenny said. Let's see if she's right. You count them as we read. 1, 4 to 1 is given. Let me ask you, what does that mean? Patty.
4 to 1 is given a specific person.
Yeah, only one person had one gift.
Right.
I think that's what that's about. To one is given. Now, an individual didn't have two. He's had one of these. Okay, but to one is given. Who gave these things, Debbie? Who gave these gifts? The text tells us, don't it, Greg? The Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is manifest in four different ways in the Bible. And I'm going to I think I just finished a bulletin that deals with that in the mat. You haven't looked at it yet? Okay, you got it. And I'm going to preach on that probably that Sunday that that bulletin comes out. Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. A failure to see that causes a lot of problems and all the misunderstanding. You got to see that or you never get a handle on it. Okay, here are the gifts. Number one. Fire away.
It says, though, in verse 7, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, does that...
I'm going to talk about who received these in a minute.
Okie doke.
Who's the every man? I'll define that. Here they are. Number one. Count them. We'll see if Jenny's right. Wisdom. What kind of wisdom, Beth? What kind of wisdom?
Word. Mine says the word of wisdom through the Spirit.
I know, but what kind of wisdom? Supernatural.
Supernatural wisdom.
Would you, somebody define the word wisdom for us? Mabel.
Knowing the word of God?
Huh?
Knowing the word.
No, that's knowledge.
Okay.
Who can define wisdom for me? Okay.
Applying knowledge.
Applying the knowledge you have. Application of what you know is wisdom. This is not just ordinary wisdom. This is supernatural wisdom. All these are. About it. Don't forget that. Every one of them. To another. Who's the word another apply to? To another. Who's another?
Another man.
Whoever received these gifts. Yeah. Another person. Knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Come on. Supernatural knowledge. Knowledge that did not come by study but came how? Without study. Yeah, without study. Why didn't these people just study the Bible? Robbie?
There wasn't one.
Wasn't any then. Where was the word at this time, Ann?
From God.
Specifically, where was it, Ann? In whom? Where was the word at this time? In men. What men? Earthen vessels. Who are earthen vessels in the Bible?
Apostles.
The apostles only, not us. There are no earthen vessels today like that. There are none. To another, faith. What kind of faith? Supernatural faith. Faith that a person could say to a mountain, what? Move. And she moved. Supernatural faith. To another, the gifts of healing. Kind of general statement about healing. Like somebody could be ill and instantaneous healing. Jesus one time, Peter did something to a man's ear. What did he do to him, Travis?
Whispered in his ear?
No, Edie. Cut it off. What did Jesus do, Angela?
He touched his
ear. Just put it on. That's instantaneous healing. Do we have any of that today, Laura?
No.
No. There are none today like that. Is there healing today? Absolutely. But it's not divine healing as was done in biblical days. There's a difference. To another, that is to another person, the work of miracles. That's kind of a general statement. To another, prophecy. What's prophecy? Fortune telling? No. You know, we've been studying the prophets. You know, a voice, a mouth for another, for the Lord. To another, discerning of spirits. Wonder what that means. Who can handle that? A discerning of spirits. Being able to do what? Then. Who knows?
Distinguishing.
Yeah, knowing the difference. Distinguishing. Like 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Somebody would know whether or not a person was doing what?
I don't know.
Teaching the truth. Discerning of spirits. Know if it's a false doctrine or a true doctrine. That's what that is. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. What's that? Patty. Tongue speaking. Tongue speaking in a language a person did not know and had not studied. That's what a Bible tongue is. Acts 2:1-4 indicates language or tongue. They exchange. They are the same. People could speak in a language they never studied, never heard it before. They could speak in a tongue. Yes, Andy.
I was reading, preparing for the study that I'm going to do. I was reading a book on Ephesians, Colossians, and Anyway, the gentleman was talking about how throughout the Bible, Paul, when he is delivering his speeches and his sermons, it's written differently, and people often confuse that as it being written by someone else other than Paul. And he used the example that he wrote a poem for his daughter's wedding. Half the crowd was Hispanic, half the crowd was English, but they were both bilingual, so the poem was written in both languages, and they weren't able to understand it. So his example by doing that is saying that Paul was able to adapt to whatever crowd he was speaking to and be able to speak to in a way that they would understand, like in Galilee and places and so on and so forth. It kind of gave put it in perspective that a lot of people don't look at it from that it's still Paul's writings, but he's writing it in the way that he's delivering the sermon to the people that he's talking to. Follow me, do I look stupid?
I'm wondering what book you're reading.
It's just a book that covers the basis.
You know the author, offhand?
Something Ramirez.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I just.
Okay.
I wanted to learn as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Andy's going to teach the class next Wednesday night, week from this Wednesday night,
yeah.
when I'm in a meeting in Cookeville, Tennessee. He's going to prepare material for you and hand it out next Sunday morning, correct? He volunteered to do that. We thank you kindly for that. You have to kind of be careful some of these things you read about it, that these authors write about it. Paul could speak in any language. The apostles were unable to speak in a tongue they did not know and had not studied. That's the point, really.
Yeah.
And then to another, the interpretation of tongues. Say a person came in and spoke German. A person could, with one of these gifts, could interpret that language. That's all that is, just interpret the language. You know, maybe you go to a foreign country to teach, and people speak a different tongue, and you would hire an interpreter. That's what this interpretation of a tongue, a language, that's all that is. I mean, did you count them? Was Jenny right?
Yep.
She was. Okay, Jenny. Nine spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, the next question I'm asking, how did these people come to possess these? How did these come about? Who can handle that for me? Anybody? Going once? Debbie, can you handle that?
Paul laid his hands on them.
Okay, these gifts can only, and you underscore the word only, could only be given by the laying on of hands of just anybody? No. Who could lay the hands and impart these? Greg? Only an apostle. Only. Now, how do you know that? I got to have specific passages that tell us that. There are two of them I want you to know about. I asked, how did men come to possess? I gave you the reference. Point two. Acts 8, 17 to 18. Okay. Let me explain to you what's going on in Acts 8. The church was persecuted. They were scattered abroad, preaching, went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Okay? And verse 12 said they were baptized, both men and women, when they heard about the kingdom, the name of Christ, and baptism. Simon also believed and was baptized. Now, verse 14. When the apostles, God underscored the word apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them who? Peter and John, who are, by the way, apostles. Now, who's doing the preaching here in Samaria? Philip. What's Peter and John going to do? Angela. Verse 15. Who, when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to caution you about something. Some people, and it's unfortunate, every time they see the word Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, they assume it's Holy Spirit baptism. And it ain't. There are different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. Now, what kind of manifestation was this of the Holy Spirit? Well, verse 16, 17, he's not falling upon. Verse 17, then did what?
Laid their hands.
Then they, who's the word they?
The apostles.
Peter and John, apostles. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. That's the laying on of hands, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And you can't confuse that with baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not the same. If you do, you got it all wrong. This is a particular manifestation of the Spirit that imparted these nine spiritual gifts. Yes, ma'am.
So the difference. Because I know when Christ was baptized, the Spirit came upon like a dove. We receive that Spirit when we're baptized, but this indwelling, this...
This is not indwelling. It's laying on of hands.
Laying on of hands, which I understand that. I'm just trying to get...
I know you are.
Okay.
The laying on of hands is a different manifestation than the indwelling. Right, JC? There are four of them. This is only one of the four. I guarantee you. Right, Greg? That's all. Four of these.
So what spirit do we receive when we're baptized?
The gift. Do you know the word difference between G-I-F-T and G-I-F-T-S?
Well, yeah.
I know you do. Yeah, you got it. They're not the same. They're not even spelled alike. Are they, Greg?
No.
If you know the difference in gift and gifts, you won't have any trouble with it. They're altogether different. And when you get that bulletin, when I preach on it, you'll see that there are columns that these have to be put in and left in there. If you move them, you got trouble.
I thought Simon was an apostle, wasn't he?
No. Now, why? Here's Philip. Who's Philip, by the way? Beth? No. He's not an apostle. Who was Philip? Who knows?
Preacher.
What kind of preacher? Just a preacher, right? Evangelist. By the way, let me ask you this, since we're talking about preacher and evangelist. Is there a difference in a preacher and an evangelist? Of course not. Same fellow. You know, there are people who want to make a distinction. They say, well, a fellow out traveling all the time, he's an evangelist, and a fellow that's local, he's a preacher. No, the Bible does not make that distinction.
So that means that when you leave for your trip in 2 weeks, you become an evangelist.
That's what that would mean, if that's true. Now, today I'm just a preacher, but when I go to Cookville, I'm going to be an evangelist. That makes sense? Don't make a bit of sense, does it? It's not true. It's just a different terminology. It just means one who evangelizes. If you make anything else out of that, you made too much. Now, my question right here is, why didn't Philip, an evangelist who'd been preaching and teaching these people, why didn't he just lay hands on them, Patty?
He didn't have the Holy Spirit to impart to him.
He wasn't an apostle. That's the answer. He was not an apostle. So they sent Peter and John down. They laid hands on them. Here's one of the proofs that only an apostle could do this. Why send these guys down? You got a preacher there, got an evangelist, let him do it. He can't do it. Only apostles could do that. Well, again, that's an excellent point for you. Now, the second example of that is in Acts 19. By the way, who's converted in Acts 19? What group of people? Who knows? Who knows? The Ephesians. The Ephesians. Paul went to Ephesus. Verse 1. He went to Ephesus. Found certain disciples who had received John's baptism, and they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. John's baptism is no longer valid. It's out of the picture. It's gone. It's history. And he teaches them the word, and they were baptized. Verse 5. When they heard this what? What did he preach? Paul. They were baptized in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul, who's Paul?
Apostle.
He's an apostle. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, this is a laying on of hands manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they were spake with tongues and prophesied and so on, about 12 men. Here are the two proofs that only an apostle could lay hands on people to impart this manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Proof beyond doubt. That's how you prove that. If not, Philip could have done it. Anybody could have done it. Now let me ask you this question. Here's an apostle. They lay hands on these men to receive these gifts. Could those men on whom the apostles had laid hands on somebody else? Travis?
No.
It could not be transferred. As far as it went. What's the advantage of knowing that? Who knows? What's the advantage of knowing that?
Because people say today that they still have gifts. And
Yeah, the people there who still claim to have these spiritual gifts, and I ask, well, where'd you get them? Where'd you get them? Who gave it to you? I don't know.
They'll tell you the Holy Spirit.
I know, but how were they given?
I've asked them, they said that.
How were they given, though?
Don't they take a class? I've heard of different ones that have different denominations. Have classes to become an apostle and you get the certificate.
I don't doubt that at all. I can have a class and give you a certificate. It wouldn't be worth the paper it's written on, though. Would it? How did the people get these gifts, Greg? I just told us. By the land on the apostles' hand. So nobody gets those today. Who gets them? Who gave them to you? The Holy Spirit didn't do that directly, but through the laying on of hands of an apostle, these were given. It said, and we have no apostles today, do we? If so, could you name one? I doubt it. And so the laying on of hands made of the Holy Spirit could only come about as an apostle laid hands on that individual. Now don't forget, that's critical. That's important to know that. Okay? I might. The only way that these gifts could be given was by the laying on of hands of an apostle. Okay? I'm going to copy the material. Now, any questions about that one? Point four of our study. We're looking at spiritual gifts. What's spiritual, what's not spiritual? Nine of these spiritual gifts, I've already named three, only an apostle could do it, and they could not be transferred. Now, what does that tell you when you understand that these gifts could not be transferred?
They can't give them to anybody else.
That's true. What does that tell you, though?
They're
going
to last
forever. They're gone.
Tells me a lot of charlatans around.
They're gone. When the last apostle is gone and the last person is gone on whom they laid hands, guess what?
They're gone.
Because there's nobody around to bestow them. You see that? I just want to make sure you did. What? What she said?
You said you were rotten.
That's what Loretta says.
I've heard her say it.
I don't want you to miss this because it's critical. Because 99, 44, 100% of people out here teach that stuff. That they're still having apostles around and these spiritual gifts are still around. They can speak in tongues and all that stuff. The Bible doesn't teach that. They're gone. So that's how they came to be. Now, let me ask this question. What was the purpose of these gifts, these spiritual gifts? Why do that? Why would an apostle lay hands on these men to receive these gifts, right? Why would they do that? You know? Need to
teach.
That's one reason. Brian?
Prove that they were given by God.
Well, let me show you this. Suppose they came into this area right here and preached, and all of us were baptized while they were here. All of us. So they say, now go out in the chariot and bring in about 25 Bibles and leave with these people so they'll know the truth. Robbie? Could they do that?
No.
Why not?
Bible wasn't
written there. Where was the word at this time? In the apostles. So they couldn't leave us anything, right? So they're going to go over to Ellisville, Princeton, wherever. They're going to teach some people over there. But what are we going to do? They've been here, we baptized it. Here we're set. JC, we wouldn't know what to do, would we? We wouldn't know where to stand up or sit down. Some subject come up, we wouldn't know a thing about it. Would you know anything about it, Mabel? Why wouldn't you? Hadn't been taught. Send them in. So, in order that this group would know the truth, no error, could speak in a language, somebody else came in and spoke a different language, they gave these gifts. And part one of them was knowledge, you remember. So we'd know, we could teach without the word. That's the purpose of it, to keep the church pure. So we'd know what to do, what to teach. Somebody come in with a false doctrine, who would deal with that one? Discerner of spirits. The fellow would know, here's a guy teaching false doctrine. He'd know that because he has that supernatural power. You look confused.
Did each of the apostles have all of these? But each one had one.
Well, I'm talking about apostles. I'm talking about people they laid hands on.
My question is, though.
You have to make it clearer than that.
Did each of the apostles have all of these spiritual gifts?
I don't know. They were. These gifts were imparted by the Spirit through the apostles. By the Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit provided these, didn't he? That's what the text says.
But he doesn't.
Now the apostles had unlimited power.
Okay.
Didn't it? Ability.
Yeah. Ability. That's another word for power. Yeah.
I think.
When they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, Michael, what did they get?
Gifts of the Holy Spirit.
They were guided into what?
All truth.
All truth. John 16:13, John 14:26, and others if you need it. That's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Angela. Emma.
No, and I understand that the laying on hands is totally different. I get that.
Okay.
I truly understand that. As I see more, I'm thinking it's just the way it was said at first, and I'm like, okay, and I'm kind of seeing, you know, maybe where I'm not labeling something correctly. So I'm interested in what you have coming.
I want to help you label it correctly.
Okay.
Right? We've got to label that stuff right. Right? And when you label it, you put it in a little box like, and you can't let it get out of that, can you, Mike? If you let it get out of that column, I'm going to show you. You have trouble with it. Can't let it get out. Now, so we've learned who could bestow them, what they were for. What else you want to know about it? What else do I need to tell you about it? JC? Any thoughts? Howard? Yes, that's the next thing I want to talk to you about. How long we're going to last? Well, I've already indicated how long. How did I do that? Patty?
They run out.
How did I do that, though?
They don't want the apostles to die.
The apostles are all gone? Maybe. Keep going. I need another point. Apostles are all gone?
And the people they laid their hands on are all gone.
All right. The people they laid hands on, they're all gone?
No more.
They're gone. That's one way to look at it, right? Okay. What's another way to look at it? That's another way to find out about where these things are today. Because we have people out there teaching all the time. They just around all the time. Just hop up here. What else do you need to know? How about 1 Corinthians 13? Okay, let me say this to you. There are three chapters in the Bible that tell you about all these. Chapter 12, we just looked at the how many gifts, Jenny?
Nine
gifts. We've identified what they are. We've identified who could bestow them. Chapter 14 regulates them. Three chapters, 12, 13, and 14. 14 regulates. Like if you didn't have an interpreter, you'd have to be what? Quiet. Keep quiet. Keep your mouth shut. That's what that means. But chapter 13 regulates the duration. How long? Look at chapter 13, begin with verse 8. Yvette's going to read 13, 8 to 10 for me. Yvette?
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fall, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Stop right there. In that verse, they name how many of these spiritual gifts? Did you pick up on them? How many? Huh? Three of them. What were they, Yvette?
Prophecy.
Okay, whether it be prophecy, what's going to happen? That's one of these gifts. Supernatural prophecy. What's going to happen to prophecy? They'll fall, fail. What's the second one? What's going to happen to them?
Cease.
What does cease mean, Jenny? Stop, quit, gone. What's the next one?
Knowledge.
What's going to happen to knowledge? And Angela?
It's getting done away with.
Vanish away. What he does now, in that verse, he uses three of the nine spiritual gifts to tell us what? What's going to happen to all of them? He just picks out three of them as a sample to show his what's going to happen. Going to cease, fail, and vanish. If you know what cease, fail, and vanish is, you won't have any trouble knowing whether or not we still got these things or not. My next question is, when that going to happen? Keep reading. Have it. A little louder. Sorry. You can turn it up. I've heard you.
For,
me too.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
He tells you in that reading when these things are going to go. Did you pick it out, Patty? When did he say it's going to go, these gifts? When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When that which is in part. You see, the New Testament was given in parts. He just did not put a Morocco binding around the Bible and rain them out of heaven. Here they are. They came in piecemeal parts. And these parts, it's like looking in a glass, that darkly, not a good mirror, can't hardly see. It's not all revealed. That's what that's about. When that which is perfect has come, these things that were given in part should be done away. Now the only question you've got to figure out is, what does it mean that which is in part should be done away? When that which is perfect has come. What's that which is perfect?
Jesus.
What's that?
Jesus. Bible. Christ.
You got two answers here. But Christ and the Bible. Which way is
Christ.
It? Can't be both ways.
Bible.
Christ.
Christ? No.
The Word?
The Word. The Word is described as that which is perfect. Jesus is never called that. Get that. He's never called that, is he, Michael? Never. When that which is perfect has come, refers to the Word of God, don't it? Right. How do you know that? Well, it's Psalm 19:9. The law of the Lord is
perfect.
Converting the soul. In James 1:22-25, the Bible's called the perfect what? The perfect law of liberty. Romans 12:1-2, the Bible refers to that which is perfect. When that which is perfect is come, the Bible, when it's completed, that's what that's about. Now, a lot of people say that refers to Christ, but if you do, you got problems. What's the problem? Why would people say that?
In the aspect of him coming.
Well, of course, they refer to the second coming.
Oh, okay.
They say that because they think to try to get to the fact that we still have these things. They say we're going to have them until Christ comes the second time. But that don't fit. It don't fit in a thing we've talked about because we've already learned only apostles could bestow them. They're gone. Only people had laid hands on them. They could not transfer them and they're gone. Or else we've got some pretty old people walking around. Still got them. There they go. That's awful. Tom, whoever he is. They're gone. By the time the New Testament was completed, in about AD 96, by the end of the first century, these things are gone. Don't need them. It's kind of like, anybody ever build a building? You know about building, don't you? Mm-hmm. When you build a building, you put a scaffold up, don't you, sometimes?
Yeah.
What's that for? To get you up there and all that? Well, you finish your building, so you leave the scaffold, right?
No, you take it down.
Why you take it down, Robin?
It's no longer
needed. You don't need it. These gifts kindly were like, it's like a scaffolding when you build a building. But once the building's done, you don't need the scaffolding. You take them away. And I make this point, and don't forget it. Not because I make it, but because it's true, that when God gets through with the thing, what does he do with it, Michael?
It's done away.
He takes it out of the way. Like the law. Got through with the law of Moses, took it out of the way. Get through with these spiritual gifts, he takes them out of the way. We don't need them. What would you do with them? Somebody said, I can know. You got the book to learn. You shall know the truth, and it shall make you. We got the truth. Don't need this stuff. That makes sense to you? I hope it does. When you think about what's spiritual and what's not, you've got to include God's gifts. Any question about those? I don't leave you out on a limb somewhere. I don't want you going home today and not understanding this, because you've got to know this. Like the back of your hand. Because you run into all these people around, all these religious bodies, they teach them. These things still happening, still got it. So the scriptures won't allow them. Any questions you got? Anybody? Any comments you want to make? Now's a good time to do it. It's a Bible class. Clear? Clear as mud? Clear? Okay, when you come back Wednesday night, we're going to look at point 5. As we continue our study of what's spiritual and what's not, God's blessings. Point 6, I'm going to talk about our singing is spiritual. The New Testament church is spiritual. Sacrifices are said to be spiritual. Understanding is spiritual understanding. And finally, in point 10, the resurrected body is said to be spiritual, a spiritual body. That's what we'll cover when you come back. So good to have in our study today.